that you might live long in the earth. My dad used to quote that to me as a kid. Behave yourself or I'll kill you. That's not what it means. Honor your father and mother in the Lord, because here's a promise that comes with it. So that you might live long in the earth. When Paul was writing to the Ephesian church, he was writing to a church that was based in a society that was pro-euthanasia. And in other words, when people reached a certain agreed shelf life, they were no longer of any value, and so we just got rid of them. Now, Paul said, think about it. What you sow is what you reap. You start honoring those over you, because one day you will be there as well. I'm nice to kids. I'm really nice to kids, because I figure one day one of them will be pushing my wheelchair. They don't stay that high for long, and I don't want them to get to the top of a hill and remember, oh, this is Mr. Grumpy. Sail on, Granddad. Honor your father and mother. I tell you, I know there are all sorts of modern, you know, parenting encouragement seminars and all those sorts of things. But let me tell you something. I get worried when I see children, 4 and 5, just allowed to call mum and dad by their Christian name. Hey, Bob. Hey, Shirley. How's it going? You know, and parents negotiating with 6-year-olds. Hey, the Bible is full of commandments to us as parents to teach kids to obey their parents. Because it says, train them up in the way they should go, because when they're old, they will return to the default mechanisms of order and responsibility in society. Hey, get your kids to obey authority now, because people like me end up having to employ those snotty-nosed brats. And we've got to sort them out later in life if you don't do it when they're young. Oh, you know, I don't want to, you know, we don't want to put too many restrictions on them. We want to be free thinkers. Teach them to be free thinkers. Teach them to be creative. Get them to believe in who they can, but teach them to honor authority. I didn't come here to be liked this morning. Send all letters to Pastor Nick. You place worth. Teach them to place worth on you now. One of my best friends in life is my father. He's 78. He works for me. Rang me last night. He said, would you stop taking on all these crazy challenges and risks in life? He said, I'm getting sick of getting up at 3 a.m. in the morning praying for you. I thank God for him. And even now, as he's approaching his 80th birthday, I still honor him. And there's benefits. And the third level of authority that God's placed in the earth is spiritual authority. Just maybe somebody won't like this. Hebrews 13, verse 17 said, obey. I'll repeat it. Obey those who have rule over you. And be submissive. He was writing to a church. He wasn't just writing to kids in the home. He wasn't just writing to people that had to obey the laws of the land. He was writing to Christians. Obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls and will one day give account for their ministry. When pastors stand up and say, folks, I really think we need to address this issue. Or, you know, when it comes to relationships, we really need you to think about this. Or when it comes to certain activities and behavior in the church, who do they think they are? I'll tell you who they think they are. They actually think that God's appointed them for such a time as this to give the church direction and order. I tell the church, some of you are mistaken. You thought I came here to be your mate. I haven't come here to be your buddy or your pal. I've come here to be your leader. God has sent me on a mission to raise up a significant force in our city that brings change and order and introduces the kingdom of God. I'm not even here to be liked. I appreciate being liked, but that's a bonus. It's not the necessity. Obey those that have rule over you. You okay? Teenagers. Respect your youth pastors.
Ah, but you know, we've been in the church now for 40 years.
You know what I've found? I found that most people that are really mature actually have no problem with authority. Those that have been just around with a bad attitude, they can't handle it. Some people say, oh, I've been faithful for 40 years. No, you've just been there. I took over a church when I was 26. The church was 40 years old and I was 26. And some of the greatest supporters I had, the people that prayed for me and loved me and hung in there when I was starting out in ministry, you know what? There were people 50, 60, 70 and 80 years of age that were just cheering on this young buck. They said, and it was a humbling thing. Because I actually pastored a church where I was once the young ratbag pastor's kid. I actually had a fight. I laid a guy out in the foyer of the church. Some of them remember when I used to turn up drunk. Literally drunk, legless drunk. Because there was a commitment in our house. My father said, if you're going to live in my house, and I was a university student, I was smart, it was cheap. If you want to live in my house, there's one rule. You will attend church once a week. You can make a choice. You can come in my car or in an ambulance, but you will come. Or you don't have to live in my house. And they remember when I used to come, I had hair past my belt. I had the darkest black attitude, a mean, miserable preacher's kid that did all sorts of stupid things. And in just 6 years, I became their pastor. And they didn't have a hassle in calling me pastor. And that church multiplied and multiplied and multiplied because they get authority. I was in Rwanda in the month of April. And a young man from a church on the Gold Coast came with me. He said, Wayne, I just believe God's told me to just come and serve you. This young man came out of Hillsong Church. See, churches that get this come under incredible favor. They come under incredible favor. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, you know, if your elders do a good job, give them double honor. The word honor actually has a financial connotation to it. Now, I'm not here today to even find out what your pastors and leaders are on, but let me tell you something. You start blessing them, it'll be good for you. This young man came out of Hillsong. You go to that church, mate. It's incredible. Brian and Bobby have been friends with Lynn and I for so many years now, it's ridiculous. And we remember way back in when they were, you know, just married and all that sort of stuff. And to see the hand of God upon that church, I celebrate every good thing that's happening there. And you see one of the reasons you get there. He drives up, the gate goes open, pulls up, doors are open. Young men, I'll take your bag, Pastor Brian. They walk in. And if you're the guest with them, they're carrying your bags and on and on and on. I've got people helping and serving. I want this done. Yes, sir. Obey those that have rule over you. No wonder the church is seeing the blessing of God. But then those that are raised up in that culture, they get it. They get it. It's not, yeah, g'day, mate. You know, yeah, he's the pastor. Little motto in life around here, keep him poor, keep him humble. Yes, sir. See, when Jesus sent us out into the world, he actually was sending out an army, not a mob. If you're going to change this, you better know structure and order. This young man has been released by Hillsong. He's gone to the Gold Coast and planted a church. And in 18 months, a young man, just 30 years of age, has got a church of 600 people. 3 or 4 weeks ago, he was given a check for $1 million. They've bought property outright. He's there carrying my bags. I was not allowed to carry a bag once in the 7 days I was in Africa. He was there with me. I'd wake up in the morning. He would have been into my bedroom, got a shirt out and ironed it. I think no wonder God's blessing you. He didn't go until he understood authority. Understood authority. So when it comes to issues of authority in the earth, some of us need to stop, you know, making excuses. You know, my kid gets picked on by the teachers every year at school. He's always in trouble. Think about it. My kids come home and go, oh, my coach put me, I want to be a forward, he's maybe playing the backs. I said, well, then obey him. Too many parents can go and point at the coach and point at the teachers. Help them understand authority. You mightn't enjoy it today, but it will reap fruit in the end. All authority. You okay? Want to bow our heads? Anybody want to leave? Gets better. Second little word. Go. Don't go till you understand authority. Once you get it, go. Here's a lesson that comes with the word go. Go, therefore, is what you honor, you get to carry. Classic illustrations in the Bible. Joshua, who honored Moses, carried his anointing. Elisha, who honored Elijah, the Bible says he even washed his hands. He ended up with the double anointing. Sadly, that didn't keep following down the line because there's a servant that literally, if Elisha got double Elijah's anointing, what could have happened if Gehazi had got double Elisha's anointing? Phenomenal. Yet one day, listen, this is what I'm trying to say. Familiarity can breed contempt. One day, Naaman, a military commander, comes to Elisha. He's leprous and he says, I need to be healed. Elisha says, just go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman is so appreciative when he gets healed, he wants to give Elisha gifts and show appreciation. Elisha says, no, I don't need your money. I don't need your gifts. You go. Now Gehazi waits for his moment and he goes up to Naaman and he said, hey Naaman, you know those gifts that were supposed to go to the boss? We'll take them now. Now Naaman gave Gehazi a brand new wardrobe, gave him silver and all sorts of other gifts. Roll the tape forward. Gehazi is now in the presence of Elisha, and Elisha says, so you made some contact with Naaman? What? You know, today, that young man's not even in ministry. He's living in a spiritual desert. I just get on. I know that in most settings where we are part of, where our culture dominates, they wouldn't have even a moment's thought that whoever is the boss gets honored. We had Winky Prattney in our church 2 weeks ago. Oh, shoot, yeah. He's as wacky as ever. I love him. Winky's one of my good friends. You know, we wrote to him and said, Winky, you know, when you come to us, he was only there for a weekend. You know, we said, standard, we'll fly your business class. You know what he told me over dinner? In 44 years of ministry, we are the first church ever to fly in business class. I think it's a disgrace. I think it's a disgrace. Oh, yeah, you know, oh, we've heard about this stuff. Let me tell you something. Until you get it, you won't get it. What you honor. You okay? What you honor, you get to carry. Now, you can just ignore this and reject it. But you want to see your life, your home, your business, your church. Authority. And the last word is you. Jesus said, I am with you. Recognizing authority is good for you. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through to 10, you know the story where the centurion comes to Jesus. He's got a sick daughter. And he says, Jesus, you know, I need you to heal my daughter. But I love what he says. He said, you know, listen, I'm a man under authority. And I know how it works. I say to one, go, and they go. And I say, one, come, and they come. I understand authority. Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house. You just say a word because your word carries authority. You speak the word and my daughter will be well. And what did Jesus say? I've never seen faith like this in the entire nation of Israel. What Jesus was teaching is that your understanding of authority is a key to expanding your faith. You understand authority. And it'll amplify your faith. What a big call. He said, I've never seen faith like this. You think of the great men and women of God in Israel. And he said, here's a non-Israeli. And he gets it. People who recognize authority benefit from the authority that they come under. You honor authority, it'll take you to the miracle zone. You honor authority, it will take you to the miracle zone. You reject authority and it will rob you. It has the potential to rob you of your miracle. Oh, how can that be? Well, the same book of Matthew, chapter 13, Jesus goes to his own hometown. You know what it says? They didn't recognize his authority. In fact, some versions say they despised him. Other versions say they were offended by him. They didn't recognize his authority. They said, he's a carpenter's son. Who does he think he is? He's just one of the boys. And for that reason, you know what it says of Jesus when he went to his own hometown? He hardly did any miracles. Few sick were healed. Hardly any miracles. Because they didn't recognize his authority. I was preaching in Cape Town. I think you might have been there, Clive, one time. And I was preaching away, and this large black African man was sitting on the front row. And I was preaching, and up until that point in time, people were clapping, amen, yeah, ha, ha. And then all of a sudden, I got to this point, and I was like, from me to Ian away, and he just stood up. He was about 6 foot four, and he just stood up right in my face. I thought, I'm dead. I've been culturally insensitive. I've said something rude, and he's going to take me out. And he just stood there and eyeballed me. Then he slowly sat down. After supper that night, I said to him, you know what, while I was preaching, you stood up. I said, you need to know. I said, my knees started having fellowship. I said, what was that about? He says, oh, he said, up until that point in time, I'm thinking, this is good, this is good, this is good. And he said, and then they came, you said something. He said, I understood there was such a revelation that you'd got that straight from the throne of God. And he said, I had no other option but to stand and honor the word of God that was carried by the man of God. I just stood on it. Thought, wow. Wow. We Australasians tend not to do that. Ah, yeah. Just keep them down. That clapping, that standing when a guest is introduced, that's an American thing. I think it's a kingdom thing. Ah, just Pastor Nicky preaches every week. I won't take any notes. You start taking notes because somebody slaved over the word of God. They've touched heaven for your soul. We pay them this service to sit there and let our minds wander. Get the word of God. Start writing it down. Give them eye contact. Start encouraging them. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 10. He said, he who receives you, sending people out. He said, he who receives you. Jesus said, they receive me. You receive the man or woman of God when they're sharing the word of God. Jesus said, you are opening your heart to receive Jesus. He said, he who receives a prophet receives a prophet's award. He who receives a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward. So you make contact with Naaman. He says, yeah. Now listen to what he said. Did not my heart go with you? It's amazing what people who have spiritual covering actually begin to pick up in the spirit when they're really praying and covering and caring for their people. You know what the end result of was for poor old Gehazi? He not only lacked the anointing that it was flowing down that prophetic line, his end result was he ended up leprous himself. Beware of contempt that flows out of familiarity. There's a cry today in the modern church for mentors. And I think it's a right thing. I think it's a good thing, a godly thing. We live in an orphaned, abandoned generation, and in the kingdom and in homes, there's so many young men and women and even more mature people that are looking for somebody that they can reach up to that'll show them how to live. But I tell the young men and women, I actually have a life group, a connect group in our church where I meet with a whole bunch of young men and women, emerging, phenomenal, emerging young leaders. But I tell them that mentorship is more than just hanging out with somebody you want to be like. It's honoring them and serving them. This is one of the rare trips where I actually haven't got one of the young men of my church with me. Just the where we are in the season of life of our church, it just didn't work out this time around. But I tell you, it's almost always. If Lynn's not with me, and even when she is, often I'll have a young person with me. And until I started to get this, I used to be all embarrassed about, oh, we'll carry your bags. Oh, no. It's actually good for them. It's actually good for them to start honoring, because what you honor, you get to carry. I was in the US late last year. Got a phone call. I was preaching for my friend Bayless Conley. Got a phone call. Said, Wayne, I'd been in the US 2 hours. Wayne, there's somebody that wants to have afternoon tea with you. I said, who's that? He said, Oral and Evelyn Roberts. I said, you're lying. He said, no. He said, I was playing golf with Oral and I told him that you were coming down. He said, I want to meet the young Australian. Young Australian. You know what? I just went and sat with him. An incredible wise man of God. I went and it was just such an honor. You know, he kept asking me things and I'd give him like 3-syllable answers because I just want to sit and listen and talk. I have people ring me these days, you know, in my office, can we just get lunch with Wayne? Can we have, and you know what? I meet with some people and I know who I want to meet again, and those who I just think, it was nice, but I don't want to do it again. Because I meet some people and all they ever want to do is they say they want to hang out with you and they want to learn from you, but they want to sit there and they just want to tell you how good and great they are. And they go, have a nice life, see you in heaven. But those young men and young women that sit there and want to learn and want to grow, they're the ones you think, I'm going to invest in you. When I sat there with Oral Roberts, you know, he says, is there anything you can do that I can do for you? She said, would you pray for me? And he said, yes. He said, kneel in front of me. I tell you what, it was one of the most humbling and yet honoring things I've ever done in my life. Have this great man of faith lay his hand on my head. Awesome. I want to carry what I honor. It was neat when I came here. In fact, every time I travel, I said to Pastor Nick last night, how do you dress on Sunday mornings? It's not just because I want to fit in. I actually honor him. I've been given a timetable. I have to finish on time. I honor the leadership of this house. I haven't come to show you how good I am. I'm here to play a part in building the kingdom, and I understand order, and I understand honor, and I understand authority. So I said to Nick last night, do you wear a tie on Sunday morning? He said, no, I don't. I said, fine, then I won't. I brought one. Seriously, just in case. If he said, well, I wear a tie on Sunday morning, I have no hassle. Have no hassle. I just want to honor. When I get picked up from the airport, I can tell what a weekend's going to be like or a series of meetings I'm going to do. I can tell what it's going to be like. When you get picked up at the airport and, you know, a guy says, look, my car's over there, just chuck the bags in the boot if you don't mind. Car's filthy. You know, there's 6 months' worth of Macca's wrappers on the floor. I know. I know what it's going to be like. See what you honor. I don't even need it. You guys this weekend have put me up in probably the best hotel in town. I would have stayed in less. But I know that when you honor, you're ready to receive. I know. I was in I ran Youth Alive for 20 years. 10 of them as the state leader and 10 as the national leader. And I remember one time we put on a national conference and the young man that was organizing the conference got an upgrade at one of the major hotels in one of our capital cities. Major. And he got given the penthouse. They said, look, because of this thing, we're going to upgrade it. And give it to, you know, to whoever you want to give it to. He took it himself. My team were outraged. It should go to the boss. I said, no, it's okay. I'm not going to make a big deal of it. Do you have Matthew chapter 28? I'm going to give you condensed milk today. This is a series in 35 minutes. We had overwhelming reaction to this series in our church. Mostly good. As Pastor Nick said a moment ago, our church has seen a phenomenal, phenomenal surge of God's favor. In just over 5 years, it's become 10 times the size it was. Our finances have more than tenfold increased in just those few years. And we are literally only now, I believe, poised for what God wants us to become. And I believe one of the reasons for that is that this church that God has given Lynn and I the privilege of leading is starting to get the subject I want to talk to you about today. I've come with the real sense that God genuinely wants me to share this message with you. I'd encourage you to take notes. I'd encourage you to open your heart because God wants to speak to us. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. All what? All authority's been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We call those three verses there the great commandment. It's not the great suggestion. Jesus said, go and change your world. And in changing your world, if every one of you get on with the job, we can change the world. And I'm going to give you some keys that'll change the world. I am a Pentecostal. I've grown up in a Pentecostal preacher's house. I'm so filled, every tooth in my head is pretty well filled. I believe in the power of God. Very much believe in the power of God. But do you know something? I think too few believers understand where the blend of the power and the authority come. You see, if I was to throw the keys to a 10-year-old with a V8 supercharged motor, so there you go, here's a lot of power, go and have some fun. Without them understanding the control mechanisms through which that incredible, powerful machine operated, you know, we would actually have disaster. We churches, our minds like yours, we sing the songs, we love the stuff, and oh, don't we love the power of God? We love to talk about the power. Well, before Jesus talked to his people about the power, he talked to them about authority. Power is the might to act. Authority is the right to act in Jesus' name. Three little words unpack the text and the message that I want to share with you today. Three little words that have incredible implications in your life, in your home, and in your church. All authority, the first little word with a big message is all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's what Jesus said. With each little word, there comes a lesson. Lesson number one is don't go. There's a little secret. Key word number two is go. But before Jesus got to go, he said, don't go until you understand authority. The first premise from which you go is understand the authority that you will be carrying and representing. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Write this verse down, Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. I want you to underscore that. There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God and will bring judgment on themselves. There are three key streams of authorities that exist in the earth that are appointed by God. Number one is civil authority. Peter wrote, 1 Peter 2:17, he said, honor the king. Now, it was an amazing thing that he would write that because the kings of those days were almost all and exclusively anti-Christ and anti-Christian. Some of the kings in the earth at those days were using Christians to light their gardens as human torches. They were incarcerating them. They were persecuting them and all those sorts of things. But Peter said, regardless of who they are and what they do, honor their office. Honor the king. For this reason, all authorities that exist in the earth are the consequence of God knowing that there needs to be order and restraint in the earth. Kiwis and Australians can learn a lot from Americans. Regardless of whether people vote for their president, the day that man or woman is appointed and given the office as leader of the nation, it's yes, Mr. President. In my nation, I believe we've actually got a great prime minister. But so many people just put him down and call him Little Johnny. And it seemed to be a funny thing. It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. The Bible says give honor to leadership. All authorities that exist in the earth, that includes the police force. I have been so convicted in recent times about the last year or two as God began to put this message into my heart and cause me to understand it. I've been so ashamed of the way I drive. I've never had Christian stickers on my car. Firstly, because most of them are seriously Gumby. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Which means, pardon me, I'm a Wally. There'll be some people quietly going to the car park, taking that off. Honk if you love Jesus. Oh, Father, forgive us. But I've just not had Christian stickers on my car because I was probably a little ashamed for people to know I was a Christian. The way I drive. Leadfoot. But I've started to realize that all authorities are in the earth. I drive a supercharged V8. And every now and then there's a little voice, I can't help it, it just says, just see what it can do, just 5 seconds. But I look on the side of the road and it says 80 Ks. It says 80 Ks. When Peter wrote, he said, you know what? If you honor the king and his representatives in the earth, you have nothing to fear if you're doing okay. I love nothing better than driving through a random breath test. And the officer pulls me up and he says, how you doing? What have you been doing? Been in church. Do you love to blow on this back? I'd love to, thank you. Thank you, officer, you're doing a good job. But you see cars stopping down the road. Fearful. I love nothing better than driving through a radar when the man's standing there with the little gun. And I'm doing the right speed. Keep up the good work, sir. See, when you're doing nothing wrong, there's nothing to be afraid of. And we as parents need to teach our kids to treat the law with respect. Civil authorities. Give honor. That means to bestow weight upon. It goes beyond respect. I used to be on a Christian television show in Australia. They stopped asking me. It was a panel show. And it was slightly weighted towards the rather liberal end of the church. And I remember one day the issue came up of what the Governor General is paid. They were just about to move in Parliament a particular motion that said that the Governor General should get a 25% pay rise. Now, the man, in all respect, was on about $300,000 a year, which, when you think about it, the general manager of Macquarie Bank in Australia has just been given a pay rise to $21 million a year. And the question was, is this a right thing to have the Governor General to get a $70,000 pay rise? And all these people, you know, all the liberal theologians and the wacko lefties are going, oh, no, you know, it's dreadful, all the poor people in the nation. Poorest people in my nation are still ranking in the top 10% income earners in the world. Let's just keep it in perspective. And I said, they said, what do you think? I said, I don't agree with them giving him a $70,000 pay rise. I said, I actually think we should double his wage. I said, because I thank God that I live in a nation where any one of us, if we're prepared to serve our nation, prepared to improve our lives, and prepared to do the right thing, every one of us have the potential to rise up to fill that job. And I thank God that we've got good men and women that are putting their hand up for that role. And yet I look at what they get in the commercial world compared to what they get to be the primary responsibility for all the laws in our land. And in relative terms, they're paid peanuts. So I said, if I had my way, they'd be paid millions. Oh, didn't they get some mail? The phone stopped ringing. I stopped getting asked to be on that program. I said, listen, it's not an issue of money. It's an issue of honor. And we need to get it. We need to get it because when we get it, I tell you what, there are benefits that flow into our life. The second authority that exists in the earth is domestic authority. Parents, hear me. This is an important verse. Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3 says, honor your father and mother in the Lord, which is the first commandment with a promise. I love being an Aussie, but we hear those songs. You know, people stand up and sing at rugby games and sporting things and all, whatever, waltzing Matilda. You know, they get a tear in their eye. It's actually a song about a suicidal sheep thief. This guy flogged a sheep. When he was going to get caught, he drowned himself. What a guy. I tell you, I love your national anthem. My. Sheesh. It's one of the few things that would ever cause me to want to be a Kiwi. Mind you, your All Blacks did jolly well last night. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, it's really good to be here. Nick and Karen, again, thank you for having us. This is a really good church. This is a good church, and it's going somewhere. Someone say amen. See, actually, I don't mind when you talk back to me when I'm preaching. I do mind if you talk while I'm preaching to each other, but I love it when you talk back. And I'm very excited about being here. God is doing something in the earth. I've been coming to New Zealand a lot in the last 5 years, and I keep coming back because I want to be part of something that God's up to. And he's up to something in the nation of New Zealand. And he's pointing to and he's raising up churches. And this is one of them that he's raising up to be a catalyst to change the nation. Hey, listen, the more I read your newspapers and the more I hear news, your politicians aren't going to change the nation. So the church better rise up and be the head and not the tail. Better be salt and light in the midst of a dark and diseased world. We can get the job done. Somebody say amen. So I love being in church. I love Sundays. I'm a Sunday junkie. I'm a Sunday junkie. Our church has got 5 services across the city every Sunday. And I tell you what, I get into as much as I can because God, I love being in his house. I love what the psalmist says. I was really glad when they said, hey, let's go to church. Let's go to church. Modern people today, you know, there's so many options and church is just one of the options. But hey, if we're going to change the world, we need to get together. The Bible says, as you see the day of the Lord approaching, get together more often than you used to encourage each other, to build each other up in your faith. And hey, listen, this morning I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the last few verses, Matthew 28. While you're doing that, a quick word from our sponsor. The out the front there, the ladies have still got a few CD series left, and I'm going to give these away. This one here is called Who Am I? Jesus asked a man called Simon, who do people say I am? And he said, well, there's lots and lots of opinions as to who you are. Then Jesus asked a very important question. He said, but who do you say I am? He said, I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, listen, this isn't something that you just worked out. That was helped by heaven. Now I'm going to tell you, your name is no longer Simon, but it's Peter. See, there's 2 very important revelations you need to have. Number one is who Jesus is. And hey, that'll get you to heaven. But then there's another one that's important, and too few believers actually get it. It's who I am because of him. When you get that, your shoulders will go back, your head will get up, and you'll get on with changing the world the way God meant you to be. And Simon meant reed, and then he became a rock after knowing who he was. And there's messages on there about identifying and defining your identity. Is there a person in this room that gave their life to Jesus this year? Raise your hand first up. Gave your life to Jesus this year. The young man on camera. Is that you? No, you're not. I've got one on lying here as well. That lady there, Kathy, would you give that to her for me, please? Fantastic. Excellent. My God is a power lifter. Four series on Gideon, Joseph, Bartimaeus. We had a brilliant message here by Pastor Don yesterday on rising up. God lifts people up. How many people have been lifted up by God? And I tell you, he raises people up for purpose. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You got to believe it. And in there, there's also a great message. The women rank this as one of the greatest messages I've ever preached, because I preached it to the girls in our church. And it's called Not Just a Pretty Face. It's about Queen Esther. And I want to give this to a young girl. Kathy, will you pick somebody that you think really would do with that? We actually had an altar call that service. Actually, you have that, because you're doing a great job. Yeah. Isn't she awesome? Where's the family with that new baby? Fantastic. This one's called Better Homes and Families. We've got a TV series in Oz called Better Homes and Gardens. And some people put more attention on their garden than they do on their family. And every woman should buy this one, because I've never beat men up more than I do on this message here called Husband, Love Your Wife. You know, I meet too many buff-head males that say to the woman, you submit. You know, that's only mentioned once or twice in the whole of Scripture, but we're told many times, husband, love your wives. A man that loves his wife, the wife will never have any hassles cooperating and going the journey with them. And on there, it's why we need to help our kids become champions and all sorts of things like that. That family right there, right down the back there, the ones leaning out in the aisle, giving it the oi. And somebody in business. Who's somebody in business here? Gentleman there. This is called Prospering People. God wants to bless you so much so that you are a significant part of blessing the church to change the community. That one's called Prospering People. Listen, we need to see business people and all sorts of people rising up. God wants to bless us so we can bless the world. Amen? Recognizing authority is good for you. Musicians, come and join me, please. My time is up. See, what you give up flows back. You want to see some order come into your home? Start showing respect and honor to people above you. Because your kids watch, they hear. Start honoring your boss at work. When everybody else is just bagging on him, you say, hang on, let's be privileged and be grateful that we even have a job. I'm going to give him a best full day's work I can. Come into the house of God. Show respect. If you're visiting, go back to your home church and show respect. Jesus said, all authority is mine. You need to get it. And then when you get it, you go. Because you'll carry it. And hey, I'm with you. You'll benefit from it. Here's a little thought. You have to get under what God's put over you, so you can get over what God wants to put under you. I got all these hurts in my life and all these things in my life. Has anybody talked to you and told you the word of God? Yeah, but you start getting under what God's put over you. I can't trust pastors. I had a problem childhood and I struggled with male authority. I'll start honoring authority when I get healed. No, you start honoring authority and you will get healed. Jesus said, listen, this is not an option. You want to change the world? You go. Recognize and respect authority. And then in going, here's my promise. I'll be with you. Let every head bow for a moment. I'm not asking, in fact, I am really, really requesting that right now people just honor this moment, because I want to ask people a question that's It's private and it's personal. As we've been sharing today about authority, civil authority, authority in the home and authority in the house of God, you've become aware of some things that you just need to say, God, I repent. I want to live under your blessing and favor, and I want to live under the protections that you've put over my life. And I'm challenged today, and I know I need to respond. Culturally, it's not even the sort of thing that I like to do, but I know you've been speaking to me. Not just been hearing the words of a man, I've been hearing the Holy Ghost put his finger on things in my life today. And I repent. I'm coming under the authority because, God, there's habits and there's hurts and there's problems in my life that I need to put under my feet. Today you've spoken to me, and God, I'm hearing you and I want to obey. If that's you, raise your hand straight up right now. Many hands. Just hold them straight up. Keep them up for a moment. I want you to whisper to God with your hand up. I want you to whisper to God what it is that you need to get under. And start showing honor and respect to. Then I also want you to tell God what you need to get over. Hurts and habits and satanic things. Bible tells me that God wants to put those things under your feet. But he can't put them under your feet until you put some things over your head. Father, right now we pray for your grace. We pray that this wouldn't just be an emotional moment where we have a good idea. But Lord, that this would be a life change. That people would see this in the way we live, the way we speak, the way we respond to authority. And I pray, Lord, over every person that takes your word and applies it to their life. I pray, Lord, for the benefits to flow into their life. I pray for the prophet's reward. And Lord, I pray for your favor to flow where order comes. And I pray that, Lord, you would do a work in people's lives that breaks the strongholds and breaks the powers that hold and destroy and have robbed them for too long as they bring these things into the right order and according to the word of God. Please let your hand drop. I'm going to ask one last question, then I'm going to hand it back to Pastor. Bible tells me one day every knee is going to bow and every human tongue will confess the authority of Jesus, his lordship. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not just a religious figure. He's not just a teacher. He is the King of all kings. He is the ultimate authority. He's the Lord of lords. He came, yes, as a servant, but now as a king. And one day, not just as a kind person, not just as a healer, but one day as a judge, every knee will one day bow. And I want him to say, I knew him. He lived under my authority. Sadly, millions, if not billions, will hear him say, no, didn't know them. They didn't come under my authority. It's tragic, but I'm going to have to send them away. And there is only a heaven and a hell. There's no middle ground. And today, friends, while there's breath in your lungs and while opportunity exists, wise men, wise women take the opportunity to say yes to God. God, I know I've done things that literally broke your code. I know I've done things that have offended you. I've not lived under the authority of the word of God, but today I'm coming back to you. I'm asking for forgiveness. And I'm asking you to make things new in my life. And I'm asking you from this day on that you'd help me with my past dealt with to live a future that brings honor to you. I'm talking to people today, and you no longer want to play games, no longer want to play church, no longer want to dice with the Lordship of Jesus. And for the first time, you're saying, I believe Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God, that you died for me and that you rose again, and that power that caused you to rise again is available for me to live a right life. Or others that say, you know, I did it once, but I've been kind of just, you know, in and out and wishy-washy, but I'm serious with God and I'm saying yes to him today. I'm not even going to wait 10 seconds. I'm going to wait 5, and then I'm going to pray for every person. Your heart's been telling you this is the day to say yes to God and his lordship and authority. That's you. Raise your hand straight up now. Thank you. Thank you. Many. Place that hand that you've raised upon your heart. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that makes, Lord, us come alive. You didn't just come to make bad men good. You came to make dead men live. And Lord, I thank you that as we come under your authority, Lord, the benefits and the power of the Holy Spirit flow in. When we come under authority, then the power flows. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring life change to everyone that's responded to you today. Some for the first time. Others, Lord, for the first time in a long time. And I bless them and I ask for your grace to be upon them from this day forward. Amen. Amen. Pastor Nick, there were probably more than a dozen hands that went up, and I'm sure you know how to help them. God bless you. See you in church tonight.